To what extent is it the responsibility of prophets to help God's people retain doctrinal integrity? Welcome to Good Word. Our topic for this week is the message of the prophets. My conversation partners are again Dave Thomas and Zdravko Stefanovic from the Walla Walla University School of Theology. And I want to toss that question out, dealing with the message of the prophets. To what extent do the prophets keep us true to correct doctrine? Is that their primary job, to make sure that we have true doctrine?
If we were to summarize the proclamation of biblical prophets, then we could say that this is what they try to say: return to your God and to the revelation that he gave to Moses, meaning to say the principles of that revelation. And biblical prophets, they did not understand themselves as some people who brought new message to God's people. Not necessarily. It was a renewed call to return to God and to his revelation.
In fact, the amount of novelty among the prophets is really fairly rare. He's not bringing them something brand new.
And if I may add to that, because when sometimes we read the prophets and some things sound or read as new, if we go back to the Pentateuch, we'll be able to find the traces. If I may take one, several prophets challenged the Israelites and said, do you think that you are very special and that you are the only people special on earth? And so on. Well, that goes back to Genesis 12, where God called Abraham so that all the nations of the earth may be blessed through Abraham's seed. So, you know, if we go back to the Pentateuch, we can find that.
Mm-hmm. So how would you view then the prophetic activity in the New Testament, Zdravko? I mean, because what you're saying I see very strongly in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. What would the corresponding description of the New Testament be? You want to...
Well, we can begin with John the Baptist. Preparation of God's people for the coming of the Messiah, pointing, to the Messiah, who he is, and basically it centers around Christ in the New Testament, mm-hmm. reminding God's people that Christ is the center of prophecy.
But when Jesus himself gives a summary of that which is most important, he picks up that which is terribly crucial in the Old Testament, versus Matthew 7:12, that one-line summary of the entire Old Testament, as we would call it. Whatever you would that people should do to you, do you also to them. This is the law and the prophets. And if you go back to the Old Testament, whether it's a king or prophet or anyone else, they were called on the carpet for not treating people correctly. And so what Jesus actually says is, how you treat people, that is the essence of what the law and prophets are. And of course, this is the essence of what Jesus did, come to teach us to do that. See? But now let's take a closer look at what we would consider to be some of the important teachings, the important messages. If you had to sort out and place in a hierarchy those things that it would be important for a community of believing Christians to emphasize today, what would you put in the top of the heap?
One would be that God is active in the world. And when he acts, he punishes the wrongdoer and the oppressor, and he protects the innocent and the suffering. And that is what we call God's judgment, which mm-hmm. translates as destruction on the oppressor and the deliverance on the one who is oppressed.
Okay. But can we expect that to happen in this world?
We accept it by faith.
No, I mean...
Yeah, but I think it happens on several levels. I think that sometimes evil produces its own reward in this life.
Yes.
There are people who perpetrate evil on others, and then their whole system collapses around them, and they suffer mm-hmm. their own consequences. But I think on a grander scale, this will be mm-hmm. settled by the appearance of God in person.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, and you know about this, Alden, to hear there's a scholar who talked to us about the global south and the church back then. He pointed out to us that the 23rd Psalm in Zimbabwe is used in a very different way than we use it. We use it as a way of comforting each other. The Lord is my shepherd. But over there, it's almost a finger in your face saying, you do to me whatever you want. The Lord is my shepherd. And there's kind of a... there's an intimation there that you may even end my life, but the story is not over, mm-hmm. because the Lord is my shepherd, and one day you'll get what's coming. And see, that's not being vindictive, by the way. You know, I think it's a very unfortunate thing that people oftentimes see God as vindictive. The wrath of God is very predictable. If you depart from righteousness and wreak havoc, you have an appointment with the reverse of that.
You know, I just happened to be reading in Malachi recently and was startled by kind of a variation of what you were saying about the judgment. Malachi is speaking to a time when the people were not being very careful. In fact, they were being very duplicitous, if we were to use a fancy word to describe it. But at the end of chapter 2, I was struck by these words. God says through the prophet, "You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, how have we wearied him? By saying, all who do evil are good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or by asking, where is the God of justice?" It's very interesting that these evil people were complaining that God had not punished the bad people. And yet God is quite willing to give people time to repent. Now, he's not afraid to let us ask questions, but when we, from our position of privilege, say, why don't you beat up on those guys, like Jonah, then we've really missed something in terms of the actual message. Okay, Stravka, you said that God's presence and activity in the world, which is a powerful statement against the secularizing impulse that says God is not present, what else would we put there on the list of aspects that we would expect a prophetic messenger to affirm in today's world?
Well, I think they would affirm the existence of God.
Okay.
You know, that's in doubt in many people's minds, and I think that this would, whether they would do it overtly or not is another question, but just to announce that there is a message from God is also to establish that there is a God who has sent a message. I would put that as a key ingredient in the message of a prophet. But I would pick up on what Stravka said earlier, is that the call to repentance seems to me to be one that is always paramount in the message, in the experience of the prophet. They are always speaking to people who have departed from what is right and true, and they are calling them back. And they are saying to them, if you come willingly and if you come contritely, there is grace and there is salvation for you. But if you want to resist, then you face the prospect of destruction.
Mm-hmm. And then they pointed to the sins of the people, and in the past weeks we have been talking about the two major sins, idolatry and social injustice, mm-hmm. that go hand in hand. Basically, the sins that destroy our vertical and horizontal relationships, vertical mm-hmm. toward God, horizontal mm-hmm. toward mm-hmm. fellow human beings.
Now, do you ever think that they point out the sins of people in order to point out the fruitlessness or the what word do I want here? The uselessness of human endeavor. Do you think sometimes the sins of the people are announced to them to bring them a clear focus that they have departed from God a long way? I wonder yes. about that. You know, sometimes we think that even today a preacher should get up and hammer the sins of the people. But I find that to be very destructive. Unless it achieves the goal of exposing self-sufficiency and autonomy and saying, look, mm-hmm. you might think yourself to be this great and wonderful person, but in reality, you're in a serious mess. Mm-hmm. Why don't you return to God? You know, just to point out and lambaste people for their sins is I think, a very unhappy and mm-hmm. unhealthy dynamic.
And this is what I also sense in reading prophetic messages. They would tell people, you would like to find satisfaction in life. You would like to have that shalom, complete fulfillment in life, and you are not finding it in the way in which you are seeking. But I can show you a better way. Mm-hmm. How you can be truly satisfied. Mm-hmm. Maybe you may not have all the material belongings that you have now, but then you will have a lot of richness in your heart and so on.
And see, I would add also, Alden, the announcement of the one who is to come.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a major part, as I read the prophets, it's a major part of the message. They don't think that this is all there is, that there is always in the prophetic message the prospect of that which is to come, the kingdom of God and the agent of the kingdom of God. And I don't know what you think, Stravko, but that seems to me to be it's not always present, but it's a very high a priority one.
Well, certainly, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, this idea of a projected end when God will intervene mm-hmm. is terribly important. And in the religion surrounding Israel, there was no projected end. It was cyclical. Every year was the same. And so for the Lord to come and intervene, that was terribly important.
Like Professor Abraham Joshua Heschel, he liked to say that to the prophets, the day of the Lord was more important than the house of the Lord.
Mm.
And there was also tension between the priests and the prophets, because for the priests it was only the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. But for the prophets it was the day of the Lord, more dynamic mm-hmm. concept.
Mm-hmm. And actually in many instances the day of the Lord was expected to be a happy day.
That's right.
But how shocking when the people were wayward and they discovered that
it's going to be the night of the Lord.
Yeah, and that's especially true of Amos, where... What is that line there where he's talking about? You're talking about the day of the Lord, but it's as if a man was running from a lion and goes into the arms of a bear and then goes into the house and leans up against the wall and the snake gets him.
Yeah,
that's right. It's marvelous.
Impossible to escape.
Yeah, that's right.
The inevitable.
All right, what else should we say about the purpose of a prophet? You've really kind of turned me away from saying specific doctrines except to point to God's intervention and God's presence. Seventh-day Adventists would say second coming and Sabbath are very important.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that we would want to say are really crucial in terms of what we would expect prophets to do?
Obedience is more important than sacrifice.
Okay.
That's one of the most important themes of the prophetic proclamation. It goes back to 1 Samuel 15:22, what Samuel told the king Saul.
Yeah, that ritual is not as important as...
Lifestyle. Yes, one can see in many places where people's worship does not translate into the daily life or daily lives of the people, unfortunately.
And it is so easy, if God starts to bless you, to take that somehow, because of his blessing, we are special and the other mm-hmm. people are not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it becomes privilege instead of responsibility. One of the things that I would like to again emphasize here just in the last few minutes that I think that we need to be very careful about not taking the prophets is nailing down certain doctrinal formulations. And I'd like to simply give a quick quote here from Ellen White as she described how she and her husband worked together. She said, "My husband would give a doctrinal discourse, then I would follow, melting my way into the feelings of the congregation." In other words, it was more the motivation rather than the content. And sometimes that really is very important. Well, our time is up. Next week, we will be talking about interpreting the prophetic writings. Dave and Stravko will be my conversation partners again. My thanks to Josiah Hakarat, our program engineer, to all of you for listening in for Good Word. I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.